two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thanks again for the news update on the half hour. And just a reminder that if there's any late breaking news, of course, we'll interrupt and bring it to you as it happens here on KSL. Otherwise, we'll look forward to getting back in touch with ABC at the top of the hour and getting your local and regional news on the other side. All right, we got a full house today. Tim Hughes in studio. Navidomskis is on the road on his way to Montana. Mama's doing the driving, but I guess that happens every time you hit the road, isn't it?
You know, she's the driver of the family. She even drives the big motorhome, and my buddies go, look at her. Why is she driving? Because she's good, and she's 98 pounds of pure firecracker. Don't cross her.
Oh, believe me, I know that firsthand. are you in the big RV today, or you got the small one on the road?
Yeah, we're just in the Subaru here. I'm a shotgun guy now.
Attaboy. All right, and so you can do the entire program. I love it, as long as our cell service holds out here. Also with us, Bob Grove and Mark Wade will talk coming up more about some of the things that these guys have been up to over the last week. Right now, though, I want to connect as we begin this second hour. I want to connect with a guest that comes on from time to time. That's Captain Wyatt Bubach with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Captain, first of all, nice to talk to you.
You as well. Always a pleasure.
Boy, I hope I'm wrong that these numbers that Faith Jolly passed along to us, I hope these are way out of the norm, that from August 1st to October 4th, conservation officers contacted 22,873 individuals and detected 1,147 violations, 258 illegally killed animals. That's not the norm, is it?
The contacts certainly are not. With the whole COVID thing, we've seen a huge increase in just recreators in general, and then a pretty sharp spike in the interest of hunting, fishing, and trapping across that time frame. So the contact numbers are notably different from history, but the violations aren't too drastically increased from what we typically experience over that time frame. That's probably our busier time of year is August through October, and really through the end of October.
What about the number of illegally killed animals included in there, by the way, 83 big game species?
Yeah, typically over the course of a year, we have about $500,000 worth of wildlife that's taken illegally in the state. And that can be anywhere from the accidental shooting of a doe thinking it's a buck or something along those lines to that outright intentional poaching with a spotlight type of thing. So those numbers change every year a little bit based on how many fish are caught illegally, but big game numbers, it's actually probably been a little bit slower this year than it has in years past, likely due to the weather.
Mm. And so these numbers go up, obviously, as more people get in the field, and we have had some hunts that are ongoing, even though we haven't yet begun the general deer season.
Yep, we still have the bulk of our, at least, for most of the state, some of the state had that early rifle season that started last week or the middle of last week. The big kick for the general rifle deer season is this upcoming Saturday. So we'll run into some issues there And then we always have issues later in the year with the cow elk hunts. And after that, it starts to slow down pretty good for us.
And so just to be clear, violations that may be absolutely unintended, or, you know, accidents that happen, those are also included as poaching incidences?
Yeah, so poaching is a pretty vague term. It kind of has a derogatory feel to it when people say it, but basically poaching, as far as illegal kill stats go that we're talking about here, is just an animal that's taken illegally. And, you know, whether you, we talked last time about misidentifying species, or if you're a duck hunter and you need one more duck and you shoot once and two ducks drop, I mean, those types of harvests would be included in these illegal kills, as well as the person that goes out there and intentionally kills an animal at night with a spotlight, let's say.
Yeah. Let me just ask you guys, Bob, those numbers bigger than you would think? Is Bob there? Bob Grove, have we lost you, sir? All right, maybe we have. Navi, what about you? Are those numbers bigger than you would have thought?
Oh, absolutely, Tim. And you know, I don't know if they're being reported more because there's more people in the wilderness, or maybe because there's more people in the wilderness, we now get to see more things that are happening, and maybe this has been going on all along at this level.
Well, it sounds like it might be a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's certainly the more eyeballs that are out there, the more educated eyeballs that are out there, certainly generate more reports. We're finding new and creative ways to make reporting easier through our app, and we're working on getting a text hotline. And so those things that we're doing to make these reportings easier. But yeah, certainly having a lot more people out there doesn't hurt the matter either. But as far as poaching versus knowing what's going on versus what's actually occurring, it's likely notably higher than what we know about.
Yeah, which is really disturbing. The good news, it's sort of a good news, bad news thing here, is that between those same dates of August 1st and October 4th, that 423 calls came in to the Turn In a Poacher UTIP hotline, which means people are getting the message.
Yeah, it seems we have a web-based email reporting system. We have that UTIP phone call system, and now we're working on that texting one. But, yeah, I would dare say, you know, I don't know the numbers, but a big number, 90% of our big cases come from those tips. I mean, the historical poachers, the guys that have done it for 10 years that we don't know anything about, that someone just gets fed up about, that comes through those tip calls, and they're hugely beneficial. So those 423 calls, they're valuable to us, and we need the public to help us out with those types of things, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, let me give
Tim, I have a question.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
got a second.
Yeah, go
here.
Ahead.
Okay, so my question is, what is the motivation? Where is the thrill in killing an illegal animal? I mean, you can't brag about it. It's like making a hole-in-one when you're playing golf by yourself. It makes zero sense why somebody would be motivated to kill an animal out of season.
But you got social media. You can make look, it's kind of like, you know, they say you can make statistics say whatever you want. On social media, you can make that deer look like he's killed or elk look like he's killed any time of year that you want, if you want to hold on to the picture. So social clout, you know, just an image type of thing seems to be what drives a lot of these people. You don't see a lot of like harvest for solely meat purposes, at least illegal harvest. It tends to be, you know, outside of fish and stuff like that. But as far as big game goes, it tends to be for the antlers.
One of the things we always try to say when we're having this conversation, which we do a couple of times a year, is what you should do if you actually see something that you think is a little nefarious out there, and you don't want people confronting the individuals involved.
Yeah, it's pretty frequent that if we have a witness that goes and says, hey, I'm going to call the fish and game and see you did this wrong, the suspect leaves, and it's hard for us to get in touch with them again. They leave fast. We don't get a name. We don't get a license plate or anything like that. So what we ask our witnesses to do is just kind of sit back, watch, get as much information as they can. And if they're able to get, like, a license plate, for example, we have the ability to see who owns that car and where they live. We can start our investigation from there. So it's not possible all the time, but if you can get a license plate, that is probably the single most important piece of information you can get for us to at least help us start our investigation in the right place. But yeah, don't try not to talk to them. They tend to leave, and that makes it hard for us to catch them when they start developing stories. But yeah, get a license plate, call that UTIP hotline, or use your app to report it, or jump online to our website at wildlife.utah.gov and report it there. But yeah, just we'd much rather have a information on something that wasn't a violation than not have a report come in at all and have us miss something big. So if you have suspicions of a wildlife violation that's gone on, use one of those resources and reach out to us.
Yeah. And by the way, with that same technology, that phone you're using, you could mark your GPS location, which I would think would be helpful.
Yeah, especially if they kill something and you know where they killed it. That's a good start, too, because if we get told it's on this mountainside somewhere, we can spend a few days wandering around not knowing exactly where that kill site is. And so, yeah, GPS, any type of details that you can get for us and the license plate, that's hugely beneficial.
Well, and then the last thing I would say, just like with any crime, you don't want to disturb any evidence. So don't, you know, say, hey, I found this deer out here and thought I'd bring it in and show you. Then somehow you could be implicated in the crime.
Yeah, we can tell a lot from, you know, shot angles and things like that of an undisturbed carcass and kind of put the story together pretty well. I mean, we do it almost every day of the year throughout the state, and we're good at our jobs on that front. So, yeah, give us the information, but try to leave everything as pristine as it can be so that we can put our story together and piece all this case up. So that was good and valuable information, Tim, to kind of let us leave it where we can work with it.
All right, Captain Wyatt Bubach, thanks so much. It's always great to connect with you.
My pleasure, anytime.
And again, that number, let me get it out there, 1-800-662-DEER. That's 1-800-662-3337. And if you were wondering, it is staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some fall fun in the outdoors and just open it up to the guys for that discussion. When we come back for this week's KSL Outdoors Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Our thanks again to Captain Wyatt Bubach. And I'm still just stunned with some of those numbers about poaching in the state of Utah. Obviously, the good news coming out of that conversation is that UTIP hotline is something people are aware of and are utilizing and working. And hopefully we can discourage some folks that would otherwise be out there doing some bad things to think twice about doing it. Coming up on the half hour, or right after the news update, looking forward to talking with Scott Root about that crazy cougar video up Slate Canyon around Provo of the mama cougar who was just living out nature, doing her maternal instinct of trying to keep people away from her babies. And Scott has a perspective on that and has been talking about some of the things that this runner did right and maybe some things we could all learn from it. Bob Grove still with me. Mark Wade is still here from Road Trippin' with BobandMark.com. We were mentioning earlier in the morning, guys, when we were concentrating on Zion Ponderosa Ranch, that now's a perfect time to be in southern Utah because the temperatures are so much nicer, at least for those of us that aren't used to the stuff you guys live with down there as far as temperatures go. And the colors are just starting to turn. So thought it would be a good idea to talk about some late fall and even winter activities that are coming, particularly down your way.
Yeah, well, the colors have peaked out in the high country, but as Mark and I mentioned earlier, is that they're going to be coming out in the lower elevations now. Zion, if you haven't been there in the spring, along the scenic drive going back to the Temple of Sinawava, is spectacular with all those cottonwoods and box elder trees. Just a very, very pretty area. But most of the low-lying riparian areas are going to be very, very pretty coming up in the next few weeks.
Mark, what about you?
Well, one of the things that I always like to talk about is just some of the other parts of Zion. For example, the Kolob Fingers area is open again, has been a little bit closed, and you can get back in there in November and you can walk along some of the streams that come out of there, Laverkin Creek and so on, and the, as Bob's saying, the cottonwoods that line the creek, and the leaves are falling off those trees and floating down the creek and littering the trail that you're walking on. It's probably one of the, boy, if you want a romantic getaway with somebody, that's the time to get. And if you just want a beautiful experience with your camera, yeah, it's coming in this area.
This is one of my favorite times of year, and there's just something about being able to layer up and feel cozy while you're out there in the crisp air. And I would hope many people take the opportunity to do this. We talked about Zion Ponderosa Ranch last hour. They have a swinging Thanksgiving dinner down there, don't they?
They do. They actually do three different sittings for it. They'll do one late morning, one early afternoon, one late afternoon, and they'll fill all of those sittings up. So if that's something that people are looking ahead to Thanksgiving or to Christmas time, you know, that time between Christmas and New Year's is a good busy time. As you said, Tim, don't be afraid to get outdoors. Just layer up, take the gear that you would take for any kind of activity, especially skiing or snowmobiling. But that same kind of gear, maybe a little lighter, can easily carry over to just outdoor hiking and enjoying that, even mid to higher elevations until the weather changes. I'm looking at the weather forecast right now. It's sunny for the next two and a half weeks still.
Yeah. I told Grant Wayman this morning on the air with Utah's Morning News that I was going to give him 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks to find me some snow. I want some precipitation up high because I'm jonesing for the beginning of a winter season and a ski season that kind of got the rug got pulled out from underneath us last year. Speaking of those resorts, though, Bob, it's an in-between. It's kind of a tweener time for them. They've shut down their summer activities and obviously can't get their winter activities up and running, but it's still a great time to be up there.
It is. You know, we've got some great resorts in southern Utah. There's Bryan Head, just 30 miles east of Cedar City on Highway 143 up Parowan Canyon or across Cedar Breaks. And it's a great time to still go mountain biking. I mean, this is great weather for mountain biking because you want it a little bit cooler when you're mountain biking. And they've got some of the best trails in the state. So that's another, that's one to consider. Another one is Eagle Point. On Highway 153 in the Tusher Mountains east of Beaver, another great resort. We were up there earlier this summer, and they've got some fabulous single-track mountain bike trails. And, of course, the fishing up there on Puffer Lake and Kent's Lake and some of these other mountain lakes, are, as Navi mentioned, are really hot right now. And so, yeah, these higher elevation resorts that we have down in this part of the state are really a great place to get away for the next couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks ago, I picked both of your brains about the top 10 drives for fall color. But, you know, driving through the color is one thing. Riding my motorcycle and getting out there with my wife through some of the fall leaves is wonderful. But I can't think of a better way to see the fall color because you really, you don't have a choice. It's going to take you some time is to do it on a mountain bike on a single track trail. And there are a couple here that are just spectacular. There's one called Pipeline, which is up Mill Creek Canyon. There's another in Bountiful up there in name escapes me right off the top of my head.
Is it North Canyon?
Some people,
it's up there near Mueller Park.
Mueller Park. That's the one. Man, that ride when the colors are out, and obviously you're moving about 1.5 or 2 miles an hour if you're on the back of my bike. you have no choice but to take the time to just soak it in, and it is so beautiful.
It really is, you know, and I know how much. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
As you can say, Pipeline, I've ridden that one, Tim, and that's a spectacular one for right now.
Yeah, the only thing you have to be careful of, as much as I'm begging for precipitation, is you don't want to be up there when the leaves are wet. It's, I would equate, when the leaves are down on the trail, I would equate it to getting a fresh powder day on skis because you're just gliding on this blanket of leaves. However, if they're wet, it becomes very dangerous, particularly on a steep trail. So it's not the best time to be up there after a rainstorm.
Yeah. And you know, Tim, I know how much you love freshly fallen fall leaves from aspen trees on the trail. So while Mark and I were on Boulder Mountain a few weeks ago, I took some pictures for you that I'll post, that the understory of the canopy there of the forest was just absolutely carpeted with beautiful golden and yellow aspen leaves.
Man, I do love it. All right, we got to take another break, guys. We'll come back here in just a minute. Scott Root will join us. We'll talk about this cougar video that's gotten so much attention, gone viral, as a matter of fact. And, Mark, I know you've got to run, so thank you so much for being on today. Bob's going to hang out for the final half hour, but we'll look forward to talking more with you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.